de Global Latin Factor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast, where we talk about, say it with me, Latino everything. And today, we are in the spirit of Halloween, as you can tell. Some of you might say that Goku is not Latino, but you'd be surprised how many people do check out that are Latino, love Dragon Ball Z.
True that.
Okay, today we have a very special individual. We have a media personality, entertainment manager, music broker, podcaster, producer, writer, concert goer, Cat Diesel, a.k.a. multitasking goddess in the house.
What's up? Thanks for having me, Crispin.
Appreciate you being here very much. She did not plan to.
No, I was going to be the cat in the hat in a different kind of hat, but we'll talk about that later. But Crispin made me the actual cat in the hat. So here I am.
Didn't I nail it? Cat, yeah. Cat Diesel, cat in the hat. It was like meant to be. Okay, so we're going to go here going with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. If you have not subscribed to the YouTube, I don't know what you're waiting for. You can check out those beautiful graphics that Carla put together. And subscribe, leave us a comment. Here we go. You ready?
Ready. They're Let's do this.
Tough. Uh-oh. Toughest questions you ever had.
Oh my gosh.
Tacos o tortas?
Tacos.
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
De maíz.
De maíz. Mm. Gorditas o sopes?
Gorditas. Mm.
I wish I could make them. Coca o jarrito?
Mexican coca. Yeah.
Agua de horchata, Jamaica o tamarindo?
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Okay, salsa verde, salsa roja.
Salsa verde.
Pozole o menudo.
Ooh, pozole. Mm. Mm. My grandfather's pozole specifically.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dope. What is so different about his?
I mean, I get to see him make it from scratch and the smell of it, just being there all day. Like, it's just so delicious.
My
sister makes it too. She makes it really, really good, but my grandfather definitely has
it. Is it the white one, the green one, red
one? It's actually red.
Red.
Yeah, he makes it red.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Churros or flan?
Flan.
Valentina, Tapatio, Cholula, hot sauce.
Valentina.
Paletas, you know the little paleta candies? Do you like the sandía, the elote, or the mango?
Oh, sandía. I almost brought one here.
You did?
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay, you know the conchita breads? Do you like the brown ones, the white ones, or the pink ones?
The white conchitas, yeah.
Okay. And when you hear the word Latino, what comes to mind when you hear that word?
Culture. Like colors, colorful, just music and colorful everything.
Awesome.
You know, and like unity, you know, whatever in event or I just feel like community. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you prefer, if you don't mind anybody calling you a Latino, do you identify as a Latino?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you care?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were telling me you're a little mixture of
different things.
Yeah.
I'm actually Mexican, German, Irish, and Peruvian.
Peruvian. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much. Okay, so I had a lot of questions about everything that you have going on. First, about me knowing you for some years. You're always involved.
Go back, yeah.
I know, for a good while. But you're always involved in different things. But I did have a lot of questions as far as everything that you do. So how did you get into the entertainment management and entertainment management business?
Well, I had an event company called Celestial Events mm-hmm. for about 7 years. And in like 2015, I started to get a lot of my clients that were, I had weddings and corporate accounts. So a lot of these people that were getting married, they had talent. You know, they had entertainers, they had DJs, they had bands. Mm-hmm. And these bands and DJs, I would have to communicate with them, you know, for the duration of planning their weddings and things and corporate events. So they would contact me to ask me, can you help me book other weddings and other corporate events? So I did. And I actually started out working with Dickie's Barbecue with the Country Western Band, believe
nice.
It or not. Yeah,
That's
I had
dope.
A contract with them for about a year. And I realized that I definitely needed another person to help me with the full-blown band. Mm-hmm. Once I realized that I couldn't always rely on someone else, I just, you know what I mean? I just,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I decided that I was going to go ahead and seek out talent, but not a band. Mm. So I went to House of Blues, and they used to have these open mics, and I used to just fall in love with a lot of the talent that was there. I would solicit them, and I would try to get them booked. Ended up working with several different local artists. Then I ended up curating my own open mic. Mm-hmm. It's called Dallas Open. It's called Filtered Dallas. I co-curated it with a gentleman by the name of Treetop. I don't know if you remember him.
That's the one artist that when I met you,
we were working together. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to put his music on the map. This is also pre-pandemic, so we were like in everybody's face all the time. We were, you know, pulling up on magazine releases. Like they would have release parties in Dallas. We'd pull up. It'd be like last minute. You know, we'd pull up. We were working with so many different. You know, he's African American, so we were working with a lot of diverse business owners that were open to working with Latinos as well as African Americans. And because I was able to, you know, kind of network with them, they put me in a position where I was, you know, curating these open mics, and it was out off of Irve, kind of close to downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
And I call it more like an underground style open mic because it really, we had no real publicity for it. The talent that that came through there, believe it or not, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Cure for Paranoia, but a lot of the gentlemen that are a part of it, I knew from working a part of a team called Fast Forward Live, which they asked me to be a part of the team to assist with creating the second largest outdoor venue in Dallas.
Oh, nice.
So we did that. I was working with someone by the name of Isaac Davies, who's a wonderful muralist in Dallas. He's also a rapper, I think, songwriter. I don't know if he DJs, but he does a lot in the artist field, in the field of artistry. He's phenomenal. But Isaac and I went down to the city of Dallas to ask permission for them to give us like the land, like what area we were going to actually use. And he was going to map out everything for us because he's the artist, right? I was just there as the liaison, the businesswoman, to make it all happen. I was very grateful for the opportunity, but unfortunately, the investors fell through, so we couldn't create the second largest. It was a lot of love, a lot of passion that went into it.
Right.
People that were part of the team were also, were not actually Cure for Paranoia yet, which is a band I was talking about. There are gentlemen that were a part of this team, but they were also musicians. So later on, whenever I had my open mic, they came, saw one of the talented rappers that came through, and they ended up creating Cure for Paranoia. So that's so whenever I was curating shows like that, it made me feel, you know, again, the unity. And it wasn't just Latinos, it was everybody. It was the whites, it was the blacks, it was everybody, because I was working with classical musicians, you know, so you had people that were scared to come, classical musicians scared to come to a place where, you know, it's predominantly hip hop based. But I was able to, you know, make those two crowds collide, and it was really phenomenal. I had so much fun doing it. It was a lot of passion behind it, but unfortunately, just like, you know, all good things come to an end sometimes. The location, we couldn't rent it out anymore, and we didn't have another location to end up, you know, curing this weekly show. So we decided to just stop it. And then, of course, Treetop kept on with his career. I kept on working and managing other artists, specifically Michael Taylor. I worked with him for about 6 years. And he's a singer-songwriter, saxophonist, a producer, and DJ. And he and I, we pretty much became a partnership. And we decided that we were just going to make music all day long. And he had a normal 9-to-5, so did I. But after work, both of us, you know, are just in there. He's asking for advice. He's actually the, you know, person producing the music. But I'm there assisting him with, you know, what extra sounds he should add. He would have other curators, other producers come in and, you know, kind of give him some feedback as well. But, you know, ultimately, that's how, you know, I started working with entertainers. And it kind of led into, you didn't ask me about this, but it led into Music Broker. So I was able, because he had such great music, I was able to sell a lot of it, beats, as well as having him submit his music for syncing.
Okay, so tell me, what exactly is a music broker? Like, I kind of, it makes sense to me a little bit. Like, I can kind of sort of imagine what it would be.
But
can you numb it down for us?
Simplify
for us so everybody can understand what that means.
So basically an artist would reach out to me and or film companies, film crews, or I would solicit them and tell them like, hey, I have all this badass music. Like, you got to listen to this. And I got to hype it up so much. And I got to have a clean discography. Sometimes I have to have like radio edited music. Sometimes I have to have just only instrumental beats. Sometimes it has to be something that sounds like ominous, like like really dark, you know. So just depending on what they're looking for or who's out there, like, mm-hmm. you know, creating new films, it depends on what they want. So once I realize what they want, then that's me asking the artist or the producer, hey, how much do you want to charge for this? Because they want to buy it because they want it in their film or they want it on their TikTok. They want it. I mean, before TikTok became really popular, people were, you know, people were getting shadow banned. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Like, they started getting shadow banned for like playing music that wasn't your own, mm-hmm. things like that. So once people, especially TikTokers, were, they understood like we have to have our own original music. Well, right. that's when I'm like, okay, you got a really cool show. So then I decided to get in their DMs and asking them like, hey, I see that you have a cool show. Maybe you're a baker or something and you have really cool music behind it. You mm-hmm. want really cool music behind whatever your content is. So give me $100, give me $200, give me $300. Depending on what, whoever my client is, depends right. on how much, you know, they're going to charge. And that's how I'm the broker because I'm the person in the middle. I'm the liaison, the person that's collecting, giving the music, collecting the money. And mm-hmm. then I get a cut of everything.
Cool. And what is that, if you don't mind me, the percentage usually that it goes for a broker?
It varies. Okay. It varies because, well, I say minimum 20%.
And for me. Also for the artist, like,
yeah.
It's great to have something like this, but some of those services, really, once you sell it, it's gone, right?
That's correct.
They don't
it's
get
no
any
longer
royalties
yours.
Or things
that's
like
right.
that.
That's right. So, okay. But you could also, as the artist, you know, have something called a 50-50 split sheet where you get 50% of it and so does the person that's buying it. So it just depends. Like I said, each client is different. Depends on mm-hmm. how much money they really want, mm-hmm. you know?
It just depends. The bigger the company, most likely, yeah. the easier you can negotiate the price mm-hmm. if it could be a 50-50 instead of somebody that's
yeah that's gonna
smaller.
Take everything yeah because if they know I mean sometimes people will take advantage of you and that's why they have someone like me to kind of mm-hmm. fish out the bad guys, you know.
And what can people, like artists that get approached by something, can they can tell what is legitimate and they're not going to be taken advantage, like what are some of the red flags you'd be like
whenever if you get solicited by people that ask you to buy into your likes or followers, that's a mm. big deal, you know. A lot of people, they'll tell you, oh, you're not serious about your career. You're not investing in your career. You don't even have enough followers to get, you know, a stage somewhere that's going to pay you, whatever, whatever. It's like they get all this stuff in your mind. Like if you're like limited on it, it's like, no, you're only limited to whatever you're limiting yourself to. So to me, stay organic and just make sure that your people, your fans tell other people about you. And yeah. you do that by being consistent, man.
So there's a lot of manipulating as far as the way that they tell them and try to belittle them.
Unfortunately,
but this
yeah.
this is what I can do for you, though, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's only part of it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, not every client will take my advice. You know, I've had clients that buy into their followers and they'll see really quickly how expensive it can be.
Yeah.
You know, and then also they don't really, it looks good on, like, if let's say, for instance, you know, you're trying to book a show and, you know, this show is, they're probably going to expect like 300, 400 people, okay? If that show has multiple, what is it? Excuse me.
You good? We got some water. We got some water.
This is sweet.
You're welcome.
If you, thank you. If you have multiple people, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
You were saying that if they have a show that brings in 300 people.
Right. So that would look, if someone says, like I'm soliciting somebody to say, hey, my girl, L25 needs to get on this badass show.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people contact me back and say, oh, she only has 3,000 followers. She needs to have 10,000 or more. Mm-hmm. So what happens is these people will go and solicit people like my artist and say like, oh, I can get you 10,000 followers, you know, for $1,000 a month. That's ridiculous.
That's a lot.
But some people, if they got the budget and mm-hmm. they feel like they need to invest more in their music to show off and show out, then they're going to do that. And believe it or not, and it's really sad though, but more and more people are catching on. These people that are booking these stages, they're finding out real quick that even though these people, it shows like 10,000 followers, they're coming to find out like, okay, we'll book you because it looks like you're really popular.
Right.
But then you pull up and the show, and you only have 20 people in the audience. That looks really bad.
That looks really bad.
Looks really, extremely bad, especially someone that's, you know, that really has passion behind their music and can really go mainstream one day.
Not to mention, if it's a label or an A&R, they are trained to look for these things, right? So they know.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get involved. Like, they see that you have 10,000, but are they really 10,000 people that really mess with your music? You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. I feel like they know, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes depending on if they want to, like you said, manipulate the situation to benefit them, then they'll say whatever.
Okay. Although I've seen before with people, especially people that are getting up there, they lose their accounts, IG accounts, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
Oh, they're like, oh, I was hacked. I was
hacked.
And yeah.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
I mean, so technically, they stop paying their bill.
Okay, so did the company ask for your credentials as far as your account so they can, you know, maneuver the numbers?
Oh, they have to.
They have to.
They have to. They get your access right away.
And then after that, they change your password. You can't even get into
it. That's correct. Or until you pay.
Until you pay.
Yeah.
And then you can get it back.
Yeah.
Dang, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is really sad. So some people have to start all over because they don't want to keep paying into it. And then they realize, like, half the comments that are on there aren't even real people. They're bots. Or if they are real people, like, those are the people, like, people that are commenting that you know are real people, those are the people you should be commenting, messaging them back, asking them, you know, or thanking them for being a part of your page, liking the page, whatever, right. Liking the post, whatever. And then from that, you're going to get more organic followers because then you'll have that real fan that's in your comments saying, oh my gosh, you know, Kat Diesel just DM'd me and she's thanking me for being on it. And that's, what that person is going to do is they're going to go run and tell somebody else that that happened. And then they're going to go and say, oh, who is Kat Diesel? And I'm just using my name as an example, but you understand, like, I feel like people that think someone is trending, they're just going to help, like, run up and, like, try to either jump on it and think that they're going to be a fan, or they could actually realize and say, because through experience, say, like, okay, half of these people in the comments are just bots and, like, best friend, girlfriend. You should probably, like, not buy into your followers anymore. Like, I feel like if there were more people that were real fans and friends of the artists, instead of just, like, hyping them up all the time, like saying, oh, you got 10,000 followers. Oh, my God. Okay, if you got 10,000 followers organically, that's something to fucking celebrate. Yeah, you know what
absolutely.
I mean? But, like, something like, you know, you're buying into, you can afford to buy into. I mean, hey. Maybe that's something to celebrate too. I don't know. If I had the money like that, $1,000 to put in, you know, I would not put in $1,000 for followers.
Really...
I would do $1,000 for marketing.
Yeah.
You know, video shoots, because all that's expensive.
But even that, those followers doesn't equal seats on events.
That's what
for
I mean.
Your events.
Yeah.
It looks bad because it looks beautiful on social media.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the events, there's nobody there for you. Maybe a few people that do mess with you.
Yeah.
You know what I was listening to the other day? Something that made me think that is not, there's a lot of talented people, right? Really, there's a bunch of people that are super talented and everything. But things that they don't have is the fact that some of the people that are not so talented, they make you believe that they are that talented.
Yes.
So you have to convince the people, really. And that's the whole thing besides the artist part, right? Because if you think about it, there's a few million that might like an artist, but there's billions that don't like the artist. So you just have to literally convince a whole group of people that you are that person who you say you are with confidence, with posts. And then the music might not be the best ever, but at the end of the day, you still begin to build a following and a cult following that really will be able to mess with you.
Yeah.
But the thing that I feel like is like you have to really convince the people, not only the music, but really convince them to feel like that's who you are.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me.
It's true. And also, it's not enough for you to just be an artist and be talented.
No,
you got to have your own podcast. You got to have, you know, your own merch. You got to have, you know, nonprofits. Like, it's not just enough to just be talented anymore. It's really not.
It's not.
And that's where I think people are manipulated by people that are, you know, just trying to come in there and make them feel more confident by offering them 10,000 followers for $1,000 a month.
Yeah. But you know, that comes with a catch. So you in your mind.
Yeah.
But you know what's sad though, that I don't like about that part? That they really prey on those people's dreams, hopes, and struggles, or how much work they put on the music, and they really are starving artists, and they're messing with and really know which buttons to push to get them to buy into that.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, now they don't even have their account anymore.
Yeah.
Or those followers are not going to be going to your concert or to your event that you put together.
Yeah.
If you're able to get 300 people in a venue in wherever area you're at, you are really creating a buzz for yourself if you can really get those people in there. But if you can't, then you still have work to do. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You just have to keep working.
Keep working.
It. And so you get the people to believe that you really are that person.
That's right.
Not only are you talented music, but you are who you say you are.
That's right.
Okay. Let me touch back on your name because I never asked about Kat Diesel. How did your name came to be?
Well, so originally, when I had a radio show with Fishbowl Radio Network, mm-hmm. I was Cat D. D-double-E. But then later on, I got on KNON 89.3. And right before that, I was playing around with the idea of... I'm an entrepreneur, so... Yeah.
You are built like a diesel, by the way. I'm just kidding. No, you're very petite.
So diesel actually came from... Because I am a marijuana connoisseur. Mm. So the diesel came from my favorite strain, which is Sour Diesel.
Sour Diesel.
Yeah. Of course, my name is Kat. So Kat Diesel is just very fitting. And also, I've been actively working with growers mm-hmm. to create my own strain. So that will be called Cat Diesel.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
That is so dope. Okay, let's get into that topic because I know you have a bunch of stuff. I have other questions. But since we're on the topic, you work with, it's called Smoke Freezer.
Yes.
Okay. What is that? What exactly, how does it work? Where can one get it besides Amazon? Because I think I've seen it on Amazon.
Yeah, it is on Amazon.
And there's a pending patent.
That's correct. Okay. Yes. So the smoke freezer was invented about 10 years ago. Mm. It is an electronic pipe, which basically means that you just, it's a plug. So you just put it in, turn it on, and in about less than 2 minutes, it will actually create a degree that is less negative. Like we have to be in the negative. Negative 15 is where we started out at. And I'll show you in a second. Let me just explain a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. But it was created by a Latino that his wife wanted a more sophisticated way to smoke. Mm-hmm. She has some health issues. So her preference is CBD for her her medication. That's what she chooses, CBD. Okay. So when that happened, you know, she didn't normally smoke anything. So mm-hmm. it basically was like a cooling for her. Like this machine is a cooling factor. It's like, it's basically like you're smoking out of a water bong or like an iced bong.
Okay.
Okay. But it cools down. We suggest start at negative 15 degrees. And you can actually smoke flower, which is CBD or THC, whatever your preference is. And then do you know what concentrate is, or dabbing?
Yes,
Have you heard of that?
I heard of dabbing before.
So you can actually, with this...
Not the song.
The smoke freezer, you can actually smoke flower and concentrate at the same time.
Okay. And what exactly is it, the benefit of freezing it or having it to be colder?
What does it do? It's a low cough. You have less of a cough. It's healthier for your lungs. You have people that... again, because his wife wanted a more sophisticated way to smoke, mm-hmm. he... knew that having a cooling system is what it's going to take for her to have less of a cough. So it's taken them, I think it was like about 6 years. So now it's been 4 years on the market. Mm-hmm. This is our first year on Amazon. This is my first year with them. I started out with them in March. And it's just been an up. I mean, and we're doing great, man. I've always wanted to be able to have a product to sell, which... Mm-hmm. I do sell products. I have the Velvet Goddess Boutique. It's a vintage mobile boutique, but one single product like that, like not just because the vintage stuff, it's like one of a kind. Never going to get anything else like that. But mm-hmm. with the smoke freezer, it's also one of a kind, but we have multiple units, you know, that we sell all over the world.
Yeah.
I told myself once I get a product, I'm going to sell the crap out of it. And that's what I'm doing. You know?
What is your promo code? If anybody wants to get it, where can they go get it at? I'm going to ask you for the link. We're going to include it in the description. But
thank you. Yes. Smokefreezer.com. Smokefreezer, just the way it sounds. Smokefreezer.com. And then my code is NewCatCity. You will save 10% if you use that code. And also, if you follow us on Instagram, you'll be able to... get in the run for like raffles and stuff like that. We give away free units. We give away accessories. I'm going to...
New Cat City Cat with a K.
That's right. New Cat. Cat City with a K.
All right. Okay, she's going to show
you real quick.
Okay, she's going to show us. And this is for... But this is the purpose. That's how the idea started. So, yes. I mean, to each their own.
We're in Texas. So, I can tell you a little bit more about that. So, being in Texas, we can't sell and demo the unit with... THC, but we can in Oklahoma, which is like an hour and 15 minutes from here.
Yes.
So we're in Oklahoma like once a week.
Yeah.
Because we have more marijuana connoisseurs that smoke out of the smoke freezer than people that smoke CBD. But I feel like it's catching up because a lot of people don't know about us. Mm. And we're actively trying to get inside of medical facilities, hospitals, to show a demonstration to their clients that have, that are prescribed medical marijuana.
That's dope. And what is the name of the person that came up with it? You say he was a Latino or is a Latino? Is he not able to say his name? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I respect that. So this is the device.
Yes.
And are y'all looking to do something more portable that's not connected necessarily to electricity or not? Or you don't know if it's in the works?
No, not right now. But I wanted to show you, if you want to hold it real fast.
Okay, absolutely.
So you can see, like, kind of get a feel for it.
Oh, it's lightweight. Yeah. It's not heavy. It looks heavy, but it's not.
It does look heavy. Okay. Yeah, so he engineered this, him and another gentleman.
It was out of necessity because his wife needed medical.
That's correct.
And that's a preference as far as marijuana.
Yes.
She wanted something that's more delicate to her lungs and relieve the coughing. And if you ever smoke, then, you know.
Yeah.
And then this is what it looks like.
So basically, you would have a bowl set up here with your flower or your dab rig. Or the other side, same thing, dab rig or your flower base. So again, there's two sides. You're going to plug it in. I mean, we won't plug it in, but you'll plug it in, you'll turn it on, and then you'll add your product, and then you
Let me have you talking to the mic. Sorry about that.
Sorry, it's okay.
Just make sure I get it.
So you're going to have, you're basically going to plug it in, decide if you want to smoke flower or dab out of it or do both.
Yeah.
Fix it up, plug it in, have it go down to negative 15 degrees at minimum. I hit it at negative 30 degrees.
Negative 30?
Correct.
And that's, it feels better for
it's
you?
It's cooler. It's a cooler hit.
Yeah?
Yeah. So with the smoke freezer, we've had a lot of success with older people, to be honest with you, because they're usually marijuana connoisseurs for many years or CBD connoisseurs for many years. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stop smoking anytime soon, but they're tired of the cough. Like,
it hurts your lungs.
The congestion. People are throwing away their bongs and just using this.
Yes.
Thankfully, we've had so many great reviews. The one review, I don't want to call it a bad review because I don't think it is, but some people might. But apparently, you get too high off of it. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, personally, I am a marijuana connoisseur. So if I'm smoking, no matter what I'm smoking out of, I'm gonna be high. But a complaint that we've had online is that you get too high out of smoking.
I don't think it's a bad thing for people that are connoisseurs for marijuana. Yeah. And again, marijuana is legal in so many states now.
Oklahoma.
How many states now?
Yeah. So, yes. So I think there's about like 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah, 7 or 8. So Texas is going to be soon coming.
Eventually. Let's hope so. But I can tell you this, with traveling, because, you know, I work with some talent that has me touring with them and stuff. I was able to go into several legal states on the west side, west coast, from New Mexico, Arizona.
Colorado, California.
We did Colorado. Well, we didn't actually, he didn't tour in Colorado, but yes, I have been there to partake. But, oh yeah, I was there first day. It was legal in Colorado.
Like a freaking gold rush.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was years ago. But anyways, but yeah, and then I actually went all the way up north to Washington. And Oregon, these people, like, they love their devices out there. Mm. So I was able to, you know, make connections out there in Portland, where, you know, that's, they live and breathe, like,
they do
that
a lot
air,
of,
you know,
they do
that,
a lot of it. Yeah.
You know, and then Canada's right up the street from there, too. I didn't go there, but that's our next goal is to get into Canada. But yeah, there's a lot of smoke lounges. That are popping up all over the USA now. And we're very excited. We're very, you know, we're nervous because it's happening so quickly.
Right.
Maybe not for the original creators, but someone like myself that they've agreed. I mean, I'm considered a founding partner. So I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity, but also just a little nervous as an entrepreneur that, you know, how many people that this may actually not necessarily change their lives, but potentially, you know, I want this in hospitals. Like, it's my goal to have them in hospitals because I have been an epileptic patient. So I do know what it's like to have seizures. Mm-hmm. And this smoking THC is a preventative. Mm. There are people that are prescribed it even in Texas. There's only one hospital in Texas that allows medical marijuana to be prescribed, and it's for cancer patients, mm-hmm. epileptic patients, and people with PTSD.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So anybody, if you guys are affected by any of that, please go to your government website. I'm not going to give the details, but go to your government website. Find out what the details are for you to be able to get your help. You should have medical marijuana prescribed to you if you are in any pain, or if you feel like you have seizures on a regular basis, or you know someone that has seizures on a regular basis and they don't know how to get help, or they have to travel to a legal state to go and get that, please contact the Texas, I don't know the website, but I can maybe give it to you later.
If you send it to me, I'll put it in the description to make sure you have it.
Yeah. That way, you know, it's obviously not legal in Texas, but this one hospital they have a specific grower that is out of Texas as well that mm-hmm. provides the medical marijuana. So we're just very excited. We hope to get it, you know, the smoke freezer inside of Texas hospitals first.
Yeah.
But if we can't, that's okay. We're going to move forward with going straight to the legal states.
And that's because y'all believe that it is so helpful for the people that are being affected?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's dope.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you come to find out about them? When did you run into them?
The smoke freezer. Okay. So one of my entertainers that I worked with, we had a comedy show. I was a producer, co-host, and writer, mm-hmm. The Flo Hernandez Showcast.
Oh, yeah.
Flo Hernandez has been on HBO and Cinemax.
What up, Flo?
He had a sponsor come through. The smoke freezer was his sponsor. And he's like, Kat, you want to test it out with me and Moonshine? Because, you know, Moonshine is his puppet.
A freaking TikToker little puppet.
He's famous on TikTok.
Yeah,
look
he's
up
very
Moonshine.
Famous.
Look up
Moonshine.
Shiner Nation.
Yeah.
So I met smoke freezer owners through mm-hmm. Flo and fell in love with the product. Decided that I needed my own. And then I was just sold on it. They saw how much I was sold on and how I was helping them sell mm-hmm. so quickly. They were just like, we want you to be a part of our team. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I had the time, but let me see, you know. And sure enough, I made time because I did my research, and I'm 110% committed to the smoke freezer. This is pretty much my baby.
But you said, is there a promo code for you or an affiliate for Amazon for you yet? Or they don't have
We don't have any codes for anything other than smokefreezer.com.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Another thing too, Amazon, it's, I'm not going to say we're testing it out, but we're doing both so we can see where our customers are coming from.
Gotcha.
We're really trying to push smokefreezer.com because that is our website.
Gotcha.
However, Amazon, because they tack on extra fees, we do too. So not to discourage anyone from going to Amazon, please, if that's your only source of being able to purchase things, go through Amazon. Otherwise, go to smokefreezer.com.
And you'll be able to get it just
the New Cat
same
City.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
That's dope.
Same unit and everything.
So how was your radio? Is that everything that we talked about? Is the freezer anything else that you needed to let us know?
No, the smoke freezer, it's literally attached to my hip. So Yeah, anytime that you see me on social media, the smoke freezer is going to be around.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
How long is the patent about the process to get done? Like, I know they've been had it pending for some time, no?
Well, I can't actually talk about that.
Okay. We'll let it
Non-disclosure agreements are important.
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
But I do know that it is not an easy process. And you need to save your money, kids. It's expensive.
It's expensive and it takes years to submit and have to go through a bunch
There's
of
a lot
stuff.
Of questionnaires. Yeah, it's a lot.
That's
But we are, I mean, nobody else has this product. And this gentleman and his partner that originally created it, they're not going anywhere either.
That's
so,
dope.
Yeah, we're really excited. Thanks. Thank you for addressing the smoke freezer. I know that you don't partake like that. And I know sometimes it makes people honestly uncomfortable because we're in Texas and it's not legal. But thankfully, we do have CBD stores here. And it is legal. It's very legal here. So, and they have flower and concentrate CBD. So in Texas, we have demonstrations in all the CBD stores out here. I mean, one main one is the weed store. It's called the weed store, but it's not. They only sell CBD, mm-hmm. Delta 8 kind of products. I don't partake, but my girlfriends do, and they love it, you know. But again, you know, Oklahoma is just up the street, and there's a lot of people that are moving or having second homes in Oklahoma, just because it is legal there and they do need it for their health. Yeah. So
when I think of the Global Latin Factor, this is part of it. Like, it's not like it's legal in certain states here, right? And the fact that you're in your mind mostly is for the medical reasons and the benefits too. For example, myself being ex-military, PTSD that I know some friends or know some people that might be suffering for, then absolutely. And it's helpful for them to be better. You know? Why wouldn't I be able to talk about it? It's not like marijuana is pretty sure not a taboo anymore. It's all over the place. To each their own. I'm not nobody to judge.
I know.
And the fact that, again, you're mostly an advocate for the fact that the health benefits that it can help you. And I think it's something dope, something amazing.
I
so I hope that you do get the patent cleared.
Thank you. I would love to introduce you to the owner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He is Latin, like I said. Yeah, and then I can give you his name.
Yeah, if he if he's willing to. But I got the next best thing as
thank
far as
talking
to the product.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very passionate as far as talking about the product and the benefits and awesome. And again, if I'm not able to have him, I'm glad I have you to talk to.
Thank you.
About
I appreciate that.
Okay. So the
shout out to the Smoke Freezer fam, though.
Yeah. Shout out to make sure you visit the website. We'll include it also in the description. Make sure you have it there, her code and the actual website where you can get it.
Awesome.
Okay. Right back to what we were talking about earlier. So New Cat City, is that your company, your entertainment
New
company?
New Cat City, yes. So I'm considered to be a celebrity handler.
Okay. What is that?
Which basically means whatever the celebrity's in need of, I got to make it happen.
Mm.
You know, so I've worked, like, my most recent account right now, I'm working working with some marketing material on some new merch that just dropped for a client out of Atlanta. Let's say, for instance, I have a social media influencer. He has a million followers on TikTok.
What?
Yeah. One Smooth Brother.
Yeah, One Smooth Brother.
This is his cap here.
Mm.
So his merch, he's got all kinds of merch. Right now, he's going full force with his wine glasses. And I mean, you can use it as a wine glass. You can use it for, you know, water, whatever you want to carry in it. And he's doing phenomenal, man. Like,
that's dope.
So people like him, you know, he doesn't really need a manager. He needs someone that just keeps him organized, to be honest with you.
Nice.
So again, something, handling something a little differently depending on, he is actually in Dallas, so it's easier for me to be able to pull up on him if he has some kind of, you know, content creation meeting or something like that that he has going on. I can physically be there to assist him with organizing, making sure that all the notes that, you know, everything that everyone discussed, that I basically, I'm like a secretary.
Gotcha.
I'll be honest with you.
Gotcha.
In that particular, you know, account. But there's sometimes whenever he'll have, you know, me and, you know, he'll hire two or three other people and he'll just ask them to do content with his merch so that way he
That's
can
dope.
Sell it. And then he'll give me a cut or give the people that he's hiring a cut of it.
Okay. And that's the hat he's pushing right now.
Yes.
What else?
This is one of them. He has t-shirts. Okay. He has, like I said, the wine glasses. He's known for just being a very positive person. And that's how we actually met. Because I was already working with Moonshine on TikTok. I came across One Smooth Brother on TikTok as well. And because Moonshine was already working with the management team, I stopped not necessarily focusing on Moonshine, but just wanting to know, okay, well, if Moonshine can hit it big and get a manager, well, I wonder if another social media influencer is so big that they need help too. So that's where I'm like soliciting people. And he was one of the people that I was drawn to because of his positive nature of all of his posts. Nothing has ever been negative about this gentleman. So I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for every client that I work with that are ladies and gentlemen of the industry, because if they weren't, I couldn't work with them. There
and
you
then
go.
As far as the hat and all the other products, where can they go get it with One Smooth Brother?
Just, yeah, go to this TikTok, One Smooth Brother TV, any of my clients. Just look them up on social media. You'll be able to find all the information that you need. Also, you can go straight to my Instagram, Cat_Diesel, and then you go to my link tree, and then you'll be able to see all of my clients' information there too.
And then you also work with Julio Gonzalez, which am I able to tell what you told me earlier?
What
about where he gonna be at now?
Oh yeah, okay. It's
he's recently got a residency in Vegas. So big shout out going out to the homie.
Shout
I don't
out
know him.
Subway.
I don't know Subway, but congratulations, my guy. And you're.
Thank you.
A residency in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That is freaking amazing. That's
dope. It is. Yes.
So you were working with him as well.
Yes. So in March, I picked up. So I met Julio through Flo Hernandez in around maybe this time last year.
Nice.
He was doing shows called Way Funny Wednesdays. And he booked Julio Gonzalez. So he came from California to be at the show.
So he's originally from California.
He is originally from California. Nice. So he was there and, you know, it was me and maybe two other comedians. Flo had already left. But it was me and two other comedians, you know, we were hanging out with him because he was like, you know, from out of town.
Right.
And we were kind of nervous of where he was staying at because he was like staying in East Dallas, but he didn't know what East Dallas was.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we were like, we were kind of nervous for him. So we were
except
like,
when the fair comes around, then we'll
be. Oh, yeah.
I saw that on Facebook. Except when the fair comes around, then we'll
be good. We're good.
Okay.
But yeah, he ended up working, like I said, at the Way Funny Wednesdays. We were talking after the show. He inspired me because he was like, hey, I'm in this. He has a Tesla and he drives himself around. He like tours himself in his Tesla.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. So he doesn't fly. He drives.
That's the one you had the sticker on the subway sticker, right?
Right. You'll see. Yeah. Yeah.
Tour bus.
That was my tour bus. Yeah. So I ended up. So the next day I hit him up. I'm like, hey, if you ever need any assistance, like, you know, for shows in Texas, like I can help you out. He's like, cool. Of course, you know, Flo. He has Flo here as well. Well, he was saying, he's like, you know what? I might be moving to Texas, you know, middle of next year, which is this year. And I was like, oh, you know, not thinking anything. Like, oh, okay, cool. You know, if you move here, I'm like, yeah, if Flo can get you shows, we'll get you shows, you know, whatever. So then fast forward to like a few months later and he's like, man, I got this tour and I really need someone to help me. He's like, are you available? And I'm like thinking the dates and everything. And I'm like, you know what? I want a new client. Like, it's time for me to get a new client. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So he booked me the first time. I was gone with him for about 3.5 weeks. And I came back to Dallas and I was like, damn, that was a rush. Like it went by so fast. I made a decent amount of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Laughed a lot. I was with
What is your duties as far as when you go out with the
comedians? I was driving him. Mm-hmm. I drove him around everywhere, set up breakdown for all of his merch.
So you manage the merch table too?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he gets major, like, so what happens is, like, if it's just him by himself, and this is for any entertainer. I'm literally going to tell you this for any entertainer. You can do it all by yourself. You can do it. I know I can do it. You can do it. But when you have assistance with somebody, it doesn't matter if it's your 13, 14-year-old kid, if it's your aunt, uncle, if it's your best friend, like, somebody needs to help sometimes,
yeah.
Right? So, but if you're paying somebody to help, then, you know, you're investing, you know, because what he said was like, I need help because I'm losing money. He's like, I know I'm paying into you, but I would lose more money if I didn't have you here because it's only him by himself when he's trying to sell all of his merch or try to talk to guests after the show and stuff and just, you know, be himself, be polite and like just getting new followers without having to just say it on the mic that one time, but after the show to actually really engage with his audience, you know? So he told me, he's like, I'm losing money. I see people walking out. They're just like waving at me. And I know that they want to, you know, sit and chat and he does interviews after his shows too. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it. Remember I told you like it's not enough for just an artist to just be an artist anymore.
It's not.
You gotta have these extra levels, you know? And so I feel like he was so inspiring to me back whenever we were speaking around this time last year after the show that I'm like, I'm gonna do that. I want to do that. Like, I'm going to do that with another client. I didn't know it was going to be him. I thought it was going to be, it was L25 at the time. Mm-hmm. I was already working with L25. So we were gearing up. But, as you know, touring is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traveling is expensive, especially
yeah.
during the pandemic and the gas prices and all that kind of stuff. So fast forward, to March. He hit me up and he's like, Kat, I'm going to be out on the West Coast. I could fly you out if you can help me drive because I can't do back-to-back shows and drive myself because I'm too tired.
Too tired.
And I was like, bro, I got you. I got you. I was so excited. So like I said, fast forward 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, came back to Dallas. And I'm like, man, like I need another contract, you know? So I hit him up first. So I'm like, before I reach out to another contract, do you want to work? And he was like, you know what? He goes, I do. He goes, but let me make a little bit more money so I can basically get you back out here. So I'm like, okay, cool. Again, when you're an artist, you're investing in yourself. Like, so just make the best decisions for yourself and utilize your resources. I want to say that because your resources could just be just knowing somebody. The resource could be just someone that knows someone that knows someone, you know? So always be polite to people because you never know who you're talking to, you know? And just stay true, you know, to yourself and your artistry. And with someone like I said, someone like Flo, someone like Julio, these are two comedians, you know what I mean? It's different with comedians than it is with musicians. But at the end of the day, we're all entertainers.
Yeah.
So we're all literally in the same boat. paddling, trying to get through it, trying to see who's going to have a Grammy, who's going to be on the next, you know, HBO show, get the next special or whatever, you know? So with that being said, I was hella inspired. L25, she did the damn thing during the summer too. We went out traveling. She toured. And it was great. Right after he saw that I came back to Dallas, he's like, are you available? I got the money. Let's go. So that was the second trip. After that, we already knew in the middle of the second trip, second tour, he was already like, no, like, I'm going to go ahead and book you for the next, you know, 3 weeks. And I was like, That's dope. I need it. Yeah, it was great. It was great because this is what I've always wanted. You know, I've always wanted a client that's paying me on a regular basis to do my job, things that I love to do, which is making other people happy, to be honest with you. So for me to work with people, very talented people at that, and also, you know, have less stress because they're actually investing in their career because they really want to further it, not just because they want to show. They want to, you know what I mean? Because there's some people that just want to show, throw money around and just show off and nothing ever happens. But I feel very grateful that I get to work with entertainers that they're selecting me, but I'm also selecting them too, you know? And so with that chemistry, with all of my clients, again, the gratitude, it's just, I'm too grateful for it because it doesn't happen all the time. And it wasn't like that overnight. And the fact that now I have someone that, you know, the camaraderie's there, the money's there. I don't have to worry about, you know, coming up with another contract to go and pay whatever bill I need. No, it's like, no, this is consistent now. And because he has shown so much consistency,
right,
I've been able to show myself the same consistency with the contracts with him, along with other clients as well, because not only does it like spark the fire, or the flame, or whatever you want to call it to, you know, work with him, it's also the same way, but it's also the same way with me working like that with my other clients, because it's just a domino effect of like inspiration. And I really feel like L25 she saw the aftermath of like her knowing me before I went on tour with a comedian. Right. And then after the fact, I went on a tour with a comedian and a musician. And she gave me a lot of insight and advice as a musician being on tour. And I gave her a lot of insight on just being an entertainer and how she can up her merch game, how she can, you know, really just take advantage of the time whenever you are out touring. Yeah. So basically my point in bringing that up is that you just wear your merch all the time. There's going to be a after this, we're going to change, right?
Okay, maybe.
Okay.
You. Yeah. We'll go ahead and change here in a second.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, just showing off, you know, your brand, people are going to come up to you. Sometimes, I mean, you know, L25 is amazing. Her, you know, presence. I mean, she's a tall, beautiful Caucasian woman. She's got a wardrobe off the chain. Her lyrics, she's a beat maker. Like, she's killing it. She doesn't need me. She really doesn't. But there are times that she does. So that's whenever she books me. Same with any other client. So it's not like something that, you know, again, it didn't happen overnight. And I'm so thankful that the clients that are investing in their careers are investing in me, because I'm only going to reinvest in them. So, and they, once they realize that, then it's just an ongoing, you know, relationship. So.
And it makes sense though, because whenever you're on stage, let's say you're a comedian, a performer, like merch is where is that sometimes.
Absolutely.
So if you have nobody set up your table to move that stuff, then you're losing money.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And I don't know if you handle their social media or not, but if you're not posting consistently.
No,
all the
I
time.
Don't. They have somebody else that they hire for that kind of
but
stuff.
But they have somebody that
absolutely
takes care
they
of
invest.
It
that's you have
right?
to. You have to invest in that. I mean, consistency is key. We talked about that earlier. Like,
you are so consistent.
Like you know how it is. Like you've had to do this every single week for how long have you been doing this?
About almost 2 years.
See,
year and a half.
Shout out
or
to Crispin.
More.
Look at that. That's consistency. Consistency is key.
Yeah,
and it's
even
hard
on bad habits too, though. So. It's true, though. You have to. It'll pay off, but if you consistently on it. But it makes sense that they do hire you. And you're right. Like, look, I'm not trying to discourage anybody that has a dream, right? But when you don't have the budget or the money to, you minimum have to get creative with it until you are able to get some money going to where at that time you're able to hire somebody that will be able to help you. Because for him, he saw the money leaving without him getting it. Well, he can get somebody to work the table. And then make that money, make the merchandise, have it moving, have your people move your product. And then after that, you know, you can continue to grow.
Having myself or someone else interview his attendees. Yeah. Like, and then sometimes, you know, people want to book shows with him, like private shows after the show, and he can't even, you know, do consultations or anything. Like, give
so you get to do that too to set up additional jobs, I booked for him. On top of that.
Oh, I didn't. So I didn't finish. So he ended up. So he was supposed to move to Texas. He moved. He actually moved to Texas. Started helping him book. He had about 8 shows. He had to cancel. Had to cancel. Pro and con to it.
Yeah.
The con was that he had already moved here. A lot of time and
so
money
he
into
in
that.
Texas?
He was in Texas. He moved from Cali to Texas.
No, but in Houston, Dallas, or where? Whatever.
No, it was McAllen.
McAllen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he has family out there, mm-hmm. and he was going to move out there, and he moved. Not even this, like within the same week, he got a call from Vegas. And Vegas was like, hey, bro, like, you want a residency? And this is what he talked about. The whole tour, the whole time we were touring, because we did go to Vegas a few mm-hmm. times while I was on the tour from March to August. So, and the last tour, the last portion of it, we were in Vegas. Like, that was the most time we were ever in Vegas. It was like 3 or 4 times. And I think that's whenever the people in Vegas were like, wow, we see this dude hustling and doing all, you know, doing his thing and bringing in all these people. Let's offer him this. And they did. And he took it. And I was very happy. I was very happy. It's just, it's sad that you have, whenever you have to call people to cancel shows, they don't want to hear that, man. That's mm-hmm. that's the worst thing they want to hear. Because now they got to rebook somebody else. They got to worry about deposits, all this, you know, all this other kind of stuff. But, you know, I feel that someone like Julio, who is, that's what he wanted. That is what he wanted. So it didn't matter if he decided to move and moved everything to Texas and had to move everything from Texas to Vegas, like, you know, within, I guess, 15 days or so. I think he had like maybe less than a week or something like that to actually move all of his stuff to Vegas. But
so did he want
to find a place?
Did he wanted to do Vegas?
Yes.
His residency, his
yes,
goal?
Absolutely.
Was he talking about it?
Absolutely.
Talking about bringing it to, speaking it to existence.
That's right. He absolutely did that.
That's
he
dope.
Absolutely did. Yes. And then I, again, you know, I was fortunate to be along for the ride, legit on for the ride. You know, the Tesla was awesome.
Autopilot.
If you've never driven a Tesla, no, I don't do auto drive.
I'm just kidding.
No, the cruise control was enough for me. Yeah. I'm kind of like on the fence about the autonomous driving.
I wouldn't trust it.
I mean, here's my thing. While you're driving, you don't know what other people are capable of. So even if you are automatically driving, you know, the autonomous driving, whatever, like, someone could literally just crash into you.
I don't even trust people. When the other day I was driving on the highway on 45, right? Uh-huh. I'm driving and the lady is on the fast lane.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I'm on the fast lane or the passing lane for people here give me a hard time. So I'm driving and I get on the passing lane and she's going slow. So I'm going on the middle lane. There's 3 lanes. Then I pass her and then I looked over and she's like this. On her freaking phone.
Was she in a Tesla?
No, she was not in a Tesla.
And just
a regular car? Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
I'm
gosh.
Saying that. I'm saying to say that people would do it in a regular car, let alone to trust them with not like having their hands on their wheel. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you might have that car, but they might be on their freaking phone, not even paying attention to you.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't trust it. I will have to be like this all the time.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah,
it's
I was.
Like this.
I was. Fast. I was. The only thing I didn't, like I said, cruise control was awesome. Yeah. It was amazing.
That's dope. So you were in the car moving around.
Oh, yeah.
And now you see him.
Yes.
And now he's in Vegas in the residency.
He is in Vegas.
He's always going to get people coming in left or right every weekend. And that's
No,
that's
it's dope. Every day.
Every day.
He has a show every day. Hey, guys, peep out the
Where
Stratosphere. Yeah, Stratosphere Hotel. Inside of the Stratosphere is called LA Comedy Club. LA Comedy Club every day at 6 p.m. Julio Gonzalez. You're going to, like, you could pull up. If you are a police officer, a nurse, any kind of first responder, a teacher, you get in absolutely free.
That's dope.
Yeah, absolutely free. So
that's awesome.
If you know anybody that's in Vegas, even if you're in Dallas or Texas or wherever, share this information with them. Let them know that Vegas Stratosphere, inside is called LA Comedy Club. Inside of the Stratosphere, you'll see Julio Gonzalez there every day at 6 o'clock. Pull up.
Okay, we're going to change real quick. And we're going to be back with some more merch that you had.
Okay.
So we'll be right back. Quick break. And we are back. Thank you very much for... Now we're changed. I am a Global Latin Factor podcaster. She's dressed
I'm representing Subway, OG Comedy.
Yeah.
On Instagram, look up OG Comedy. That's my comedian, Julio Gonzalez. He has a residency in Vegas at the Stratosphere. The comedy club name is LA Comedy Club. He has a 6 p.m. special every single day. Yeah, every single day.
He can get the merch where also?
Yep.
Where can you get the merch?
Subway.com.
Okay. Subway.com.
Subway.com.
And you gifted me this awesome from
Sleepy Brown.
So tell me about it. Who is this gentleman?
Legendary Sleepy Brown. He produced for Outkast for lots of years. Now he's currently on a project with Big Boi. Uh-huh. And they're doing great things together. One song is called Animals.
Nice.
And I'll let you listen to it after this.
Absolutely.
Pretty dope song. And yeah, he created this cigar. It's a mocha, this mocha Sleepy Brown cigar with Privada.
And where can they find it at?
PrivadaCigarClub.com.
Mm-hmm. There you go. If you wanted a Sleepy Brown cigar, if you're into cigars, where's where you can get it at?
PrivadaCigarClub.com.
There we go.
Or for myself. Like, I'll be in Dallas the next couple of weeks. I'll have some, if you want to test it out, try it out.
In Vegas.
Or, yeah, of course, I'll be in Vegas. Or if you know a cigar shop that you want me to bring some over, I'm down.
All right. We're going to go ahead and put the website, too, in the description of the video so you can find that as well. We got a lot of products. And you brought some more stuff. So you actually do a boutique. You said antique boutique. What is it called again?
So it's the Velvet Goddess Boutique.
The Velvet Goddess Boutique.
Yes. So before the pandemic, my best friend and I, Satara Monzon, she's a jewelry designer.
Nice.
So I sell her jewelry. Mm-hmm. She asked me for assistance. She's one of those people I first started out working with, assisting with sales. So I sell her jewelry. And then one day she was just like, you know, Kat, like, I really want to do vintage shopping. And, you know, so she created the Velvet Goddess Boutique. And then she created it. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, I need a partner. I want you to be my partner. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'd love to be your partner, you know. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, this was pre-pandemic. Yeah. During the pandemic, we struggled a little because we couldn't do our pop-ups anymore. I felt like we were special because we would come into your place and you can invite, you know, two or three friends. We would provide champagne and fruit and just have, you know, a nice time. And then we would also have people come to our shop. So we were located at Southside and Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
So Southside and Lamar, of course, pre-pandemic, was very open to doing pop-ups all the time. Like we were very successful there. But unfortunately, with the pandemic, we just couldn't afford to keep the doors open. So we decided to just go mobile and only stay mobile. So now we just handle styling for women mostly. I do stage styling for entertainers, male and female. And then my partner, Satara, she obviously comes up with the jewelry. Nice. And she also will style her own shoots as well. Like whenever she does photo shoots for her jewelry. Yeah, so she'll style or she'll ask me to assist with styling. But yeah, we have a lot of women that are very just, they're in tune to themselves. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of our materials, our lush fabrics, and the glitz and the glamour.
Did you bring some?
I did bring a few things. Right now we're heavily pushing scarves right now. So here is a beautiful scarf.
Ooh, look at them colors.
Yeah, it's huge too. This one is humongous.
Yeah.
This is vintage. Let's see where this one was made at.
So this one's vintage.
This is
you also have some that are vintage inspired.
That's
and
correct.
Are actually vintage,
that is
right?
correct. So this
see
one
how I did my homework there?
Thank you. I appreciate that. This one is made in Japan.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
And this is a vintage. Look at that fabric and that pattern. You good, you good. Look at that. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Very pretty colors.
This one. And then, so I brought something just for the guys too. Kind of snazzy. Guys also buy handkerchiefs. Time I had a pop-up, I believe it or not, was walking out to leave the pop-up and some guy weighed me down. He's like, hey, do you still have the black and gold handkerchief? And I was like, yeah, actually I do. And yeah, he bought it on the spot. He has, I did a pop-up at the music studio that I work out of, Valley of the Kings. And he has a barber shop inside of that building. So nice. I was doing a pop-up on my own downstairs, you know, and he pulled up, like I said, and he asked other people to come and see me. So I was already leaving, but because he bought that one, I was able to get three more sales out of it.
That's dope.
Yeah,
that's
it was great. So I love, you know, I love doing pop-ups and things like that. But, you know, now that people are more, you know, open to pop-ups again, we're slowly popping up, but we just don't really have the time anymore.
Yeah.
But thankfully, whenever I am in town or whenever Satara has time, we'll throw out, you know, DMs to people that we know have been in our closets before and we'll just hook them up. We'll tell them, hey, what do you got going on? What kind of projects are you working on? Like, are you looking for silk, satin, lace, you know, sequins? So if we know that they're looking for a certain type of fabric, then we'll basically invite them to come, you know, to our place, or we would go to them, and then we would provide all the different sizes or styles in that size that they're asking for. Okay.
What other ones did you have? It's a nice little blue one.
Yeah.
Is that one vintage or inspired?
I was going to say, this one is vintage inspired.
Oh, vintage inspired.
Yeah,
that's
for the male. Yeah, this is definitely vintage right here.
The handkerchief.
And it's different. It's a different style too. So there's all different types of styles. This one. Oops.
He's modeling for his cat.
Yeah. It's like, you know, my Subway
sweater. That one
sweater.
Has flower pattern.
Yeah.
Blue, white.
Yeah. Floral patterns, like, they sell like hotcakes.
Nice.
And I had something. I don't know if you...
You don't know what?
I don't know.
You don't know what? What do you mean?
Let me show it to you first.
I know what it looks like.
Isn't this cool?
That is very cool.
So I have this.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought, like, maybe you could, like, model the merch for me, too. And maybe we'll get, like, hella sales. Can you please? Let's put this on together. This is for Halloween. It's a Halloween edition, right?
Yeah,
You made me the cat.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right. So I'm going to try to stay on the mic as much as I can while I put... How do you put this? What is it, first of all? Can you explain to us what this is?
This is for people.
This is pretty cool, though.
Need to be heard.
So if you're trying to get heard as you walk,
that's right.
You definitely need to get this.
Now, belly dancers use them. It's just extra. This is vintage inspired. It's not vintage. I wish it was.
Is there a name for this thing? What is it called?
Just a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
And then what you do, you just put it around and tie it. I don't really do much of this stuff, but you know what, guys?
Please.
She dressed like a cat, because Cat Diesel. I'm gonna go ahead and.
No, well, let's rewind a second, Crispin.
Okay,
you actually told me. I said, "Are we gonna dress up today for Halloween?"
See what
and he
was.
Said, "No." So then I pull up,
I was
and
being
he's
spontaneous.
Like, "Oh, you're." He's like, "I got a costume if you want to wear it." I'm like thinking, "What could it be?" But no, it was cool. I enjoyed it. That was fun.
All right, we're gonna get up for a couple seconds. If you're on audio, just listen to the beautiful sounds that we're going to do. And we're going to monitor. Hopefully, we get some sales. Okay. And what do people use this for? Belly dancing?
Yeah. Or just, you know, to just jazz up your outfit.
All right. So, I'm going to get up now. And hopefully, Carlos can get the video.
There you go.
So, they got to hear it. So, you got to kind of.
I'm a natural.
Let me find
Shakira,
out.
Watch out.
Let me find out. Do I need to... To add to my list
any
of...
Any belly dancers, what's up?
Of talent? You're a dancer now?
Put me on the list, Kat. I'm on the list now.
Dang. Let me find out. Let me book you right quick.
Look.
I'm going to book you for sure. For real, though, I know I'm going to sell both of these just by you doing that. I appreciate it, Crispin.
You saw that move?
You took one for the team, Crispin.
Thank you. I'm a natural with this. Who hiring for belly dancers? I need a job ASAP. Okay, let's go back to, you had touched up earlier that you also do classical music. Not only do you do, you know, comedians and you worked with hip-hop artists before, but you actually have a violinist that you work with, right? Violin Richard.
Richard Punch.
Yes. Okay, so tell me about him and what is it that y'all doing?
Okay, Richmond Punch and I, so back in 2016, 2017, I was working at a classical music school as a director.
Nice.
And there were so many talented teachers there. So many. Also very inspiring people. And Richmond Punch was one of them. So unfortunately, you know, I was with the school for about 4.5 years. I separated ways. Richmond Punch stayed as a teacher for a little while, but not soon after he and his wife moved to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And in Atlanta, you know, there's a lot more opportunities, I feel, for someone like Richmond. Richmond did very well here as a classical musician. He graduated from Juilliard. I mean, this man is phenomenal. Like, very, very smart man. And his wife as well. But they're a dynamite duo that they travel all over the world. And they needed some assistance with booking. So by pure coincidence, I'm on, and this is fast forwarding now from, I think the last time I saw him was probably like in 2017, 2018.
Right.
I'm on social media and I see his wife comment on one of my friend's pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Richmond Punch's wife. And so I wrote her back and I was like, oh my gosh, you know my friend that's an awesome musician. And I'm like, how's Richmond doing? So she DMs me and she's like, oh my gosh, she's doing so great, but we're so busy. And I'm like, y'all need help? And she's like, yes. And it's the rest is history, you know? So right now we're focusing on very classy international style hotels. So when he performs, he performs for about maybe an hour, hour and a half. His clientele ranges from like just recently he had a wedding in DFW that he was booked for. He got major cash for it. But he also had to book not just himself. He was responsible for booking dancers, a ballerina. He was responsible for booking the rest of the band.
You need a belly dancer?
There you go.
tell him to hit me up.
I'm going to tell him. he ended up... he also does private events, like I said, like the weddings, but he also does super corporate events where he's being flown out to different states to perform. And it's amazing. But it takes a lot more people to help him book because he wants to consistently work as much as he can. His daughter is in France. So his goal is this time next year, if not before, he will be in France performing.
I believe he'll be in France.
I believe I will be in France as well.
I've been there. Cool.
No, his wife told me. She's like, if we're going, you're going. I'm like, let's go.
I don't know about the French people.
But
France, I gotta learn a little French. It'll be beautiful to be there. That's dope. So where can they find him at as far as social media and different things like that?
Richmond Punch.
Pulling out the
phone.
On
Instagram, for sure, he's Richmond Punch. Mm-hmm. Let me find out what his website is. Give me 1 second.
And while you're looking for that, also, you touched up a little bit on L25. But can you tell me just a little bit more about her?
Yes. She is a singer-songwriter and producer. And she is phenomenal. She is also curating her own shows. Okay. Richmond Punch, is at... It's his Linktree. So I say you just do this on all of my... Cat Diesel, go to my page, and on my link tree, you'll see all of my clients' information, and Richmond Punch is on there as well,
as
L25 as well.
And we'll put that also on the description, so make sure we have all that stuff there.
Yeah. But as far as L25 goes, she has created the Divine Lady collab, and I believe she's on her third show coming up.
Divine Lady collab? What is that?
Yeah, she. I believe she got interviewed with Candyman.
Yes.
Here. So I don't know all the details, but I do know that she is a co-curator with a woman by the name of Victoria, who's a masseuse, and also I believe that she does 420 events, like infused meals and stuff, out in California.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she teamed up with a good partner for that. And also, you know, she's creating her own beats. So talk about Beat Broker. I sell her beats. So if you like any of her beats, you hear them, let me know. You can go to her directly or hit up my DM and I can either put you, you know, in contact with her directly or have a beat session created just for you where we just go through, you know, a slew of beats and see which ones you want to buy.
And how many also her link tree will have all the contacts too. How many days out of the month are you here in the DFW? Because most of the time you're usually on the road, right?
I am. Yeah. Well, this year, yes. Prior year, yes. Let's just focus on this year. But yes, I do travel a lot. And now that my main client that had me out touring most of the year, Julio Gonzalez, he has a residency in Vegas. So I'll be traveling there, but we won't be traveling outside of there until probably next year. With L25, I'm sure she's going to have some tour dates booked for next year as well. I'm hoping she books me to go with her. If she doesn't, I mean, I just feel like so confident in all my clients that they can do it. They can do anything that they set out to do. Literally, I've seen them do it. And I'm so happy that I get to, you know, have phone conversations, you know, not necessarily on a daily because all of my clients we don't talk like that. But when I do get the time to talk to her, I always come away with feeling satisfied where I'm like satisfied that she's my friend, satisfied that she's still doing like everything that's in her power that she can to be a woman in music, a businesswoman in music, as well as a musician. And so it's so important, like I said, that I work with people that are ladylike, gentlemanlike, because that's a reflection on me. And I believe reputation is everything. And my clients, I feel, hold their reputation's very high as well. So why wouldn't I? And I think that that's something that someone that's in the industry lacks sometimes, yeah. You know?
I appreciate the fact that you don't see them as just a client, even though you use that term because technically that's what you do. But the fact that they're not so dependent on you,
yeah,
and that you have the trust that they are able to do, and if so happen to be that they do need you,
yes,
to do and continue to invest on their mm-hmm. career, that mm-hmm. they can reach out to you.
That's right.
That's dope because yes. somebody else could be like, you know, you hear all those horror stories about managers, how they yeah. take them for whatever.
That's right.
You know, what I
want to. So I'm trying to show that I'm making the difference. I'm yeah. making the difference. If I can do it, you can do it too. There's other women and men that are in the industry that are just like me, that really want to project their clients on a bigger platform, bigger pedestal, if you will. But they don't want to have to deal with all the garbage in between. And if they do, they shovel it out and then they keep going and they keep making progress with positivity as opposed to staying, you know, in a hole. Yeah. You know, or trying to dig yourself out with doing things that normally you wouldn't normally do. That's why I say stay true to yourself, because the person that you were when you started creating, whether you're a musician, a comedian, dancer, whatever entertainer you are, that's the person that's true to yourself and that's going to get you to the bigger platform.
That's the people that fall in love with anyways, not when you change up years later.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So I've seen that you work with, I think you were even living or at least staying in the same place with Gangsta Boo.
Oh, yeah. Gangsta Boo, that's my girl. Yeah, she's actually the whole reason why I am a celebrity handler.
Really?
Because, yeah, because if you can handle Gangsta Boo, you can handle anybody.
I interviewed her, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, she's... I interviewed years ago. I had an interview. A nice,
really?
Nice
was
setup.
It here?
Yes, it was yeah. here. It was in a different studio, and we had a really nice talk.
Yeah.
It sucks that at that time I didn't have the budget to do the audio and have it the way that I have it now.
Yeah.
But I had a really nice talk with her. And she told me some things that I was like tripping out.
Yeah.
Because she was telling me how she felt kind of conflicted of making the type of music and now being a mom and all that. I'm like, what
yeah.
are you telling me? This lady.
Yeah.
To
no,
get this?
She again, true she's to
awesome,
herself,
though.
True to
really
herself
awesome. Yep.
from toe to the head top. Like she is true to herself. I've gained so much, insight working as a woman in music, working as a woman in business, mm-hmm. working with someone who came from similar circumstances that I did, kind of from the hood, mm-hmm. you know, and made everything that she could out of nothing, you know? And now yeah. she's in Hollywood living her best life.
That's
you
dope.
Know, and I don't know if you heard, but she was just interviewed recently by the Drink Champs.
Yeah. Dream Champs.
She taught me something I didn't even know.
What was that?
She's looking for beats from New York style beats.
Really?
So I'm like, I'm over here. I'm like, if I'd have known that girl, I'd have gotten you some, you know, New yeah. York beats a long time ago. But she's seeking that out. And she's also learning Spanish. So y'all look out. Y'all look out for Gangsta Boo.
No, she's dope. She's
yeah.
amazing
yeah.
as far as the music and 3-6 and all that.
Yeah.
And just me talking to her, very, very nice.
Yeah.
You know, it was... a little weird the way she was talking to me about that part, but it just showed her human side, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
her mom's side.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is, but at the end of the day, she's still an artist. You know, I saw the Versus.
Oh, yeah.
They had that Versus
yeah.
thing. And I think she was not even that long ago at Vlad TV also. And
yeah.
I'm pretty cool that she's on Drink Champs too.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's very awesome. I just yeah. thought it was pretty cool that I seen that and I dealt with her before. And it was
yes.
like, man, she's pretty cool.
I'm definitely going to tell her that I was here today and spoke yeah. to you, Chris.
She might not even remember me from years ago.
No,
but
she
was.
She's
cool.
one of those
it's
people that
cool.
does, though. She does.
That's
when
it,
she'll remember every time she's in Dallas. Like the last time she was in Dallas with me, well, so she's actually flown into Dallas a couple of times, mm-hmm. and I've driven her other places.
Nice.
But we've also, you know, gone to. She's flown me out to California to work with her as well. But her merch game is hard up too. Like she goes by the Booprint. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Look at the hashtag the mm-hmm. Booprint.
Mm-hmm.
She sells her sweaters that say Gangsta Boo made me do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had a launch out there with I can't think of the woman's name, but she was super genius.
Mm-hmm.
Photographer was Skrillex's girlfriend. I don't
oh,
know if you know Skrillex,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
His girlfriend was her photographer. The woman that she did a collaboration with did these badass pants. They're called the Wear Them Dollars At pants.
Oh,
remember
what?
The old song,
the
Wear Them
song,
Dollars
Where
At? Yeah, so she has Wear Them Dollars At pants.
That's dope.
They were placed inside of a store out here, actually, it's all over. I can't think of, I'm having a freaking brain fart.
You're good.
But anyway, they were in a major store, and she did really well with that. Yeah. But outside of that, I mean, whenever she was in Dallas, like I said, I was losing my train of thought. Sorry. She was in Dallas with Beat King. And that's whenever I styled her, and we started working together nonstop after that. That was 2017.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, at the time I was interviewed, I could be wrong, but I think she was either pushing makeup or jewelry or both.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that was back then.
Was that before 2017?
2017, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. A little bit before I'm not that. Sure. Yeah. I do know that, you know, she takes merchandise very seriously. She does not say yes to everybody. So. She does not do a lot of interviews.
I know. I was so fortunate.
Yeah, for real. She really doesn't. Like, the last performance, I had a driver to Louisiana for a performance. And she had security there. Like, we had everybody was set up, like, ready to go. And then there was some people there that wanted to interview her. And she just shut them down. She was like, I'm sorry, I don't interview. And it may sound rude. And it, yeah. I mean, you know, but that's her preference. She doesn't, if she doesn't know she's going to be interviewed, she does. She wants to make the choice on her own. Like anybody else, you know. Yeah. So she politely declined. But at the end of the night, I like kind of, you know, like, come on, girl, give him a little something,
little
you know?
Something.
So she was like, all right, like, since Kat said, y'all come in here, whatever. So, you
but
know,
she go hard whenever her does. Performances, man, yeah. She kills it. She
oh,
hits
yeah.
every freaking single lyric. Like,
yeah, she does,
oh, man. She's
good. She's somebody that I can trust and I can lean on as a, in my profession and as just personal matters. Like, she's really been there for myself as well as other women that, yeah. you know, have had a rough upbringing, I guess, that they don't necessarily have to stay where they started, but some most of the time they do, That's you know? Cool. And I'm just grateful that we met, that our paths crossed, because believe it or not, I actually met her through social media because she is my favorite artist.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's badass.
I recited
and you got to
her
work
lyrics.
With her. That's
yeah.
dope.
Yeah, I still do. I got to work with her this year too. If I'm thinking whenever I go to Vegas, I might take a trip because it's only like a 2-hour drive to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably go out there and see her maybe for Thanksgiving or something.
If she ever in Dallas, you know, just let her know that well, we've done one before and then
yeah,
we'll be happy to
heck
sit
yeah.
down and have
I'm definitely
one
gonna
on
pull
one.
Yeah, definitely gonna Dream bring
Travis
her out
up there. Well, but I'm just saying we have talked to her before. I have talked to her before. I'd be more than happy to do.
That would
you know,
be great.
More dressed in a different setting. So.
Yeah.
Dope.
For sure.
Okay, what other established artists have you worked with besides Gangsta Boo?
Or if she you have, is the, she is the, the, yeah. But she is That's the dope. Person that is telling me like, yeah, like, keep doing it. She's like, you're just going to keep on getting higher and higher in your rankings. And people are going to, I mean, she's assisted me with working with people like Beat King, people like Sleepy Brown. She introduced me to Kosha Dills. I don't know if you know who that gentleman is.
No.
But
who's
he,
that?
Kosha Dills. So I worked with her at South by Southwest a few years in a row. And the second year I was with her, she, the first year, she was on a stage and shared a bill with Kosha Dills. Kosha Dills, excuse me, is a Jewish guy, Caucasian. And he pretty much, you know, had. The budget, the time, and he asked her to go to Spain with him. And she went. I wanted to go so bad, I couldn't.
Spain is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, so,
been to Italy, Germany, Spain.
That's right.
And the Philippines, of course, Iraq. Oh. That was something different.
Right.
That
right.
wasn't a vacate.
Right, right. But that's yeah. awesome that you've traveled. So you're definitely a world traveler.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have the Latin global factor. Like, come on.
I'm not done yet. Okay, so.
That's what's up.
That's dope that you got to do that. And it sucks. You'll get to be in Spain, France first. And then.
There you go. Yeah, yeah for sure.
There. Okay, one of the questions that we're getting ready to wrap it up. But are you taking any more clients right now? And if so, if when you're looking for an artist, what exactly is it that you look for? Not to mention, what is the benefits of anybody like working with you and as far as, you know, elevating their career? I know you talked about in different things. So how can you help? But at the end of the day, like a lot of people are kind of, you know, I feel like you have to trust, but still verified.
Mm-hmm.
But how can people benefit from reaching out to your services? And what are they expected to receive from you?
Again, it just depends on the client. Mm-hmm. For me to seek out the client, and I'm not taking any more clients right now.
Okay.
The only client we didn't talk about was Billy Sin, and that's he's a producer that I work with, and he owns a music studio, Valley of the Kings. I do sell his music. So again, depending on the entertainer, depends on what they need me for. So the benefit is that they get what they want.
Okay, that's so tell me about Billy Sin real quick, and hopefully we can have him here as being a
that
Latino.
That would be dope, yeah. And we, absolutely, he's from El Salvador, yeah.
He actually probably worked with Wolfie.
Yeah, Wolfie.
Mm-hmm. We had an interview with him before. I know before he was Wolfie IQ, I know him from years ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
I actually know IQ before I knew Billy Sin also, right. Yeah.
If he's interested, we can definitely set up something.
That would be great. I'm sure he would love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can tell you about, I didn't know that he's the only, Valley of the Kings is legendary as far as the studio, but I didn't know it was his.
Yes, it is. It's him and a few other partners. Mm-hmm. But he is their master engineer, producer, and person that's there on a daily basis. I get to work out of there pretty much whenever I want, whenever the studios are available. I usually book on Tuesdays and Thursdays to sell beats there.
That's dope.
So, yeah.
Okay, so now let me go ahead and get all your, tell me more about Billy. So he just mostly does producer sales and he's the owner.
He's a singer, songwriter, rapper, and also a producer. So my job for him is to sync his music. He wants his music in film.
Okay.
Right now, the closest I've got to making that happen is sitting in a room with Pharrell's team, like the real Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Yeah. And I had the opportunity to play 20 tracks for the team. And they liked one. And that one that they liked was Billy Sin's track. I had multiple artists in that slew of music, so you know. But it wasn't selected, but his name is definitely in anytime that they need something specific, especially Spanish, they hit me up.
That's dope.
Yeah. So just fingers crossed, it's going to happen. It may be, you know, maybe not this year, but definitely by next year. I would say like someone like Richmond Punch, he's ready to get in the studio to record. He wants a Grammy. That's a classical musician, but also he could do electronic violin.
Nice.
So, you know, it just depends on which way he wants to run with that, but definitely Grammy in the works. Someone, you know, like Billy Sin with producing music, the instrumentals, I'm really trying to get them synced for a lot of like horror shows, shows like with the ominous music.
Yeah.
Someone like L25, her music, you know, I want to get it synced with someone, and she already pays in her sync services as well, just so you know. Like, again, all of my clients, there was one thing you asked me. You said, what am I looking for the client?
Mm-hmm.
And that is stability and like a foundation, because sometimes you can be very talented, but if you're unorganized or unorganized to the point where you don't know where your foundation is, I can't work with you, because it's not that. It's really because you can't afford it. You need,
in order for it to have a structure.
How can I help you? How would I be able to help you if you can't help yourself?
Yeah.
So I need the people that I work with, they just need to have a foundation.
Yeah. I mean, you can't build a house without a foundation.
Yeah.
It'll crumble.
And unfortunately, that also includes a support system, like a support, you know, with your family, your friends. And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't happen. So when my client is that much hungrier because they don't have the friends and the family that they thought were the fans all this time, you know, or they are, but they're like wherever they're at, they're not sharing your stuff, whatever. They look at people like me to get inspired again, to like know that, okay, this person believes in me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get when they show me that they believe in me back, by trusting me, you know, the advice, or just showing, I mean, I'm literally showing people through my experiences how my clients are making all this money and they're giving it to me because they need help. Like, you know, I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing what I love. I love helping other people. Yeah. I was a part of a nonprofit called SAFE, Spreading Awareness for Epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nonprofit, so I'm not getting paid, you know, but we're a very passionate group of people. But when we have fans and people that are family and friends that say that they're fans, it's discouraging whenever they don't show up to your events, that you're trying to gain money for a better cause. So then when you flip it and you actually have an artist that's there that wants profit, you know, and has the means of you know, getting up every day, making it happen, they're very talented, but they don't have that support system, it can be discouraging to these artists, okay. You know?
Let me push back on that one because for me, for example, I do this. I wanted to do this. I know my family loves me. Maybe they don't understand because being Latinos, they don't understand what exactly is it that I'm doing.
Yep.
But I feel fully, they don't care what I'm doing, but they don't discourage it. If I was ever to do anything, they would be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, for example, there could be a person that you run into that maybe don't have that, but it's because maybe whoever, their family, whatever, they don't fully understand it, but they know that they have the desire to do this, whatever is it that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, it just maybe to me a thought that maybe that's not the fact that they're not supporting this. Maybe they just don't understand where their mind is going, where they're going, whatever they're doing, because
that's true.
You know, it's just something else that they have a passion and a growth, something that they have inside that they want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. Just for me. No, absolutely. And I think, again, every client is different. Some clients have complete 110% support from their family and friends, and some have zero because they're never at any family functions. They're never at, you know, their best friend's baby showers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks like you don't care, but in reality, like, you, entertainers care. The entertainers I work with, they care about their families. They care, but they also care about their careers. And there's a work-life balance, and if you can't see that, even as a normal, I say a normal person, but just a person that's not an entertainer, a person that has a 9-to-5 job somewhere, whatever that career is, whether they got a diploma, degree for it, whatever, they're still going through similar struggles of, you know, whenever they get home, I mean, at the end of the day, you want someone to like you. It's like your coworkers, you know, you want them to like you. You want people to support you in your department. You don't want to have to worry about people that are, you know, super negative in your department. You're supposed to work as a team. It's stuff like that. So it's like it's like that for anyone that's taking their career seriously. And I think sometimes there's people that have thicker skin where it doesn't bother them as much and they can just keep moving forward, no big deal.
Yeah.
And there's some people that, you know, actually need therapy or they need, you know, a best friend to talk to or someone to remind them that they're following the right path, you know, and that they have someone to continue to encourage that. Because sometimes I think at some point entertainers feel like, well, that's all I have because now my family's not around, my friends aren't around anymore, so this is all I have. And I've seen it. That's all that they do. And it is a struggle. Mm-hmm. But I like your point of view. And maybe and that's something I will address with clients that do bring that up.
Because I think I totally love my family. You know
of
what
course.
I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, of course. I'm sure that, you know, if you started to miss certain, you know, birthdays or holidays or whatever, they're going to question, like, well, where's Crispin at? Like, what's he up to, you know? And if people, you know you, and they're like, oh, he's got his podcast going on. He's been doing this forever. And it's people like you, all you need is one true fan to refer you. And then it's like, it's word of mouth spreads. I mean, I've known you since, what, like 2014, 2015?
A minute.
When you were in music.
Yeah.
So to me, I was soliciting back then. You know, I was asking, you know, my boy Solo, DJ Solo, shout out to Solo.
Shout out to Solo.
He's the one that introduced me to you and your crew and a lot of other local artists at the time. And I was, again, inspired by just y'all were doing it. Y'all were actually out there on a stage doing it whenever you could literally be inside on social media talking about it. But you guys were doing it. And that's what's impressive to me with working with entertainers that, you know, whether they rise and they fall or they rise and keep rising. Like the fact that you have enough courage to get on that stage or on the microphone or, you know, in a camera, you know what I mean? Like all that is, it comes with it and not everybody has that. And I, you know, applaud you, you know, for doing this. How many years? You said almost 2 years now with just this specific podcast. You were doing other podcasting before. So, you know,
I think I needed all those things to be able to do this.
Yeah, that's why, man, if I didn't have Celestial Events, my old business, I would not know how to work with all these multiple personalities, man. But I worked with a lot of brides.
Yeah.
A lot of bridezillas, a lot of brides, you know, a lot of corporate gigs that they needed. They were very very A-type personality. So, you know, direction, like organization, all that's so important. And I'm just happy that I get to do what I love and, you know, be able to, along the way, hopefully get snatched by one of these clients full time.
You're going to France. You're going to get snatched by somebody and you're going to be doing amazing things. I don't claim it. All right.
Cheers to that. So,
definitely. Okay, so before I let you go, I appreciate you very much taking the time. Now, tell me all your social media. Where can they find you at?
pretty much everywhere. Kat Diesel, K-A-T, and then D-I-E-S-E-L, like the engine. But yeah, on all social media platforms, Instagram specifically is Kat_Diesel. And you can find my link tree there, and it will lead you to all of my clients and all the different ways that I make money.
All right. And then one other question. We had a whole lot more questions, but I think we covered. We might have to do a part two in the future when you get snatched before, before you're not reachable.
Pre and post.
Before you're not reachable. But tell me something important that you have learned in the music business that you would tell your younger self that would help somebody now.
Don't worry about what other people think of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Don't worry about what other people think about you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I didn't know. I know we didn't touch up on your background as far as how you grew up and everything. I know you said mentioned in the hood.
Yeah.
So being in the hood, having to be able to make your way, always hustling, moving different things. I've seen you from years.
Yeah.
You're always involved in different projects, and it's awesome to see.
Thank you.
And when I started this, I started reaching out to the people that I've been knowing still to this day right now. And it's awesome to see that you're still consistent working on a project, on moving something, you know, traveling. And it's pretty amazing. So Kat Diesel, you are a global Latin factor.
Hey.
Appreciate you being here.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And one last question before I let you go. If somebody was to Google you or search you on a search engine many years from now, what do you expect from them or hope for them to find about you? That you were snatched
that
up.
That I was a positive influence on entertainers. And I was able to propel their careers, and in return, they propel mine.
Awesome. I appreciate it very much. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember, we are just like you with the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time. Thank you very much for checking out this episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. If you are enjoying the content and the channel, go ahead and subscribe. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 subscribers so we can bring you more episodes, more channel. Go like, go subscribe, go write a comment. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Like a pedo, but in fact it's a flamingo. Coming to Havana, entering from Puerto Rico. On a pirate ship, you don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing fortune and...